Hello and welcome to It's About Youth. I'm Fiona Shea, and this is the show that talks about issues that matter to youth. For today, we have Sim Yi Lin from Girls in Tech, as well as aerospace engineer T.S. Umar Shangri Aruldas, to talk about women in STEM, addressing misconception, challenges, and ways to encourage more women to be in the STEM industry. Right. Thank you so much for joining us, you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Let's start this off with statistics based on the Ministry of Higher Education, where you have between the year 2015 to 2021, the proportion of STEM graduates for women actually has generally been slightly higher than men. At 2021, it was about 53%. But employed STEM graduates still stands for women below men. Women was about 69% of the pool and 70+% for men in 2021. So there's clearly a disproportionate gap there. Uma, I would like you to address this. Do you think, you know, being in the industry itself, an aerospace engineer, do you think there is a gender disparity when it comes to, you know, people in the STEM industry?
When we talk about this gender disparity and also the STEM industry, perhaps we can look into the definition of the gender disparity itself. Gender disparity means the unequal distribution or representation in four main key areas, which is namely on opportunities, resources, fundings, as well as the rights. So these are the four key areas. Now let's look into the STEM industry as the worldwide perspective. United Nations 2022 report says that the women in STEM comprises or made up only 35% worldwide, and men takes up 65%. And now that we are narrowing it down to Malaysia with the statistics that you have shared, it shows that a big pat on our shoulders that Malaysia is doing good and we have lesser gender gap compared to the worldwide outlook today. However, the question here is that, as how you have mentioned about the employability rate, the STEM graduates' employability rate. The graduates refers to the undergraduates and also postgraduates. And now talking about the employability rate, it is indeed a big question mark of how or why, despite women are outnumbering men in terms of the graduates, but the employability still leans or more towards men. Even though we could see the graph is increasing over the time of 2015 up to 2022, 2021. But never once the graph has intersected or women outnumbered them in terms of the graph itself. So coming back to your question, gender disparity in STEM industry, I would say yes, there is gender disparity when it comes to STEM industry in Malaysia.
Well, why do you think that is though?
There could be lots of other factors. It's a good thing that the STEM education industry in Malaysia, that we have internships to assist the STEM graduates in order to prepare them before going into the work life or their career life, or giving it a perspective on how it could be. But I believe that there are lacking of mentorship programs per se. That would have been one of the key areas of motivation that drains women of not having or lack of role models. That would be one of the major points of why that would hinder women to be employed. And also the other question goes by how many women are coming forward in order to apply for a job application itself.
Yeah, we'll get more into that. But Yilin, I want you to address, you know, you are from Girls in Tech, so obviously you are on the ground sort of talking to people who are in the industry itself. What is the misconception, you know, some of the misconception about women being in this industry?
Yeah, so I think commonly the gender biases, for example, like people would think, because I'm from tech, right, in tech field, people would think like women in terms of technical competency is like less competent comparing to men. And then on top of that, like programming logic and also problem solving logic, people would tend to also think that men is actually better. And then also some common stereotype, like women is not interested in tech. So this type of like uncommon biases would lead to like misconception for women.
And do you think this may have led to the statistics that we mentioned just now?
I think part of the reason, yes. And also a larger portion I would think is the exposure. Mm. Like how the students or young girls are exposing to the STEM field. Because back in like our traditional learning method, it's mostly like theories, and our focus is more on examination. So not really much on hands-on, and people are not aware on like day-to-day, what would be the roles, what do we do on day-to-day basis. Mm. So if they don't have the exposure, it's very hard to spark the interest.
Right, okay. So I'm picking up a few keywords, the exposure and, you know, biases. Now, you know, being, you know, girls, women in tech itself, do you guys face any specific challenges in the industry? Any personal experience, Uma?
Maybe I can say definitely yes. And in my case, it has been the unconscious biasness, like how Eileen has mentioned. In my cases, it has always been unconscious biasness, whereby, perhaps for an example, we have aircraft flying, and let's say we have standby engineers as well. And for an example, let's say the aircraft breaks down somewhere at 2 a.m. in the night, and my superior gets to know about it. He would feel comfortable to discuss or get the inputs of the breakdown from a male colleague more than a woman colleague. So that could be due to other factors. And this is solely unconscious. And this is definitely unconscious. And in oftentimes, these types of unconscious biasness, usually it made up of discussions or meetings on outside of the meeting room itself. When it's happening outside of the meeting room, and it may happen over the coffee, a cup of coffee, over a lunch, on a friendship basis. So these types of unconscious biasness, I would say.
Right. What about you, Yilin?
I think something similar though, like some situation that I realized probably like during meetings, if there's like a male-dominated meeting rooms, whenever like we raise some our thoughts or opinions, sometimes it's like people were just overlooked. So this kind of situation actually happens quite commonly. And also unconscious biasness towards like competency, like the one that I mentioned. So in my previous workplace, there's also a similar situation. Like leadership role is often handed over to a male instead of a female.
Right. So Yilin, just based off what you said just now, you know, getting overlooked, for example, do you believe there are actually systemic barriers that limits women's access to certain opportunities when you talked about, you know, not getting overlooked and not being involved in meetings, for example?
Okay, so actually, surprisingly, I'm quite pleased to see nowadays a lot of organizations are offering sponsored programs or scholarship to encourage women to pursue the tech fields. So what could be lacking here, I think it's just the promotion, like the marketing side, like how are we promoting these programs to women? So a lot of them don't really gain access to this type of program. So that's why for us, since I come from Grazing Tech, one of our initiatives is also to promote this type of like sponsored programs to empower women.
If I may add on to Yilin's point, I think when we talk about the systemic barriers, right? So this, actually talking about Malaysia, a multicultural country, a beautifully country, but when we talk about multicultural, it goes down to too many roots, actually, too many ethnicity and too many roots. When we talk about too many roots and ethnicity, we are same, but we do have differences that we carry with the root itself. So in order to break the stereotype, which has been deeply rooted, it could be a difficult task for one to do or a group of small group of people to do. So we need more initiatives and also government intervention and policies in order to bring those or to break those systemic barriers.
Right. Talking about, you know, needing women in STEM industry, why do you think there is a need for women in the STEM industry?
I would say that there is definitely need for women in the STEM industry for two major reasons. One would be representation, and also the other one would be for role model. Talking about representation, I thought of sharing a little story that I have. This has happened in ISS, International Space Station, back in 2019, where there was the first all-female spacewalk is about to happen somewhere in March 2019. But that particular walk has been cancelled because lacking of space suit sizes for the female astronauts in the ISS itself. So could you imagine that due to lack of representation, that the number of sizes, the spacesuit sizes are something like you can detach the arms, it's like torso apart, you can detach them, something like Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
So talking about those suits, so at that particular point of time when the astronaut wants to change the suit, it was so difficult that they just decided to replace the woman with another male astronaut instead. Mm. So this has happened even in ISS, and fast forward to 7 months later, after that, it has been rectified with more number of representations, and also this issue has been highlighted and more spacesuits were available, as well as the first all-female spacewalk happened successfully. But there was 7 months after.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking about role models do play a very important role, because role models are the ones that those who have been, like, you know, clearing and paving the pathway for the upcoming generations, or even for the existing generations, to come forward and also to take them as the marking or benchmarks for them to move. And what happens to the generations that are waiting or having inspired by the role models is that they are having them clearly and with lots of passion, enthusiasm. They oftentimes they go beyond the role models and they set a new benchmark. Mm-hmm. And it happens again and again. And these role models are playing a very huge role for the women in STEM, and also for the community, and also for nationwide overall.
Right. Okay, we want to talk more about women in STEM and some of the challenges and solutions to encouraging women, more women to be in the industry after this break. Hello and welcome back to It's About Youth. I'm Fahana, and today I'm joined by Sim Yi Lin from Girls in Tech, as well as Uma Shangrarudas, aerospace engineer, to talk about women in the STEM industry. Now, we talked about some of the challenges, misconceptions, some of the biases that women face in this industry. Now we want to talk about, you know, something more, I guess, bottom up. Uma or Yi Lin, let's start with you. Do you think there are any specific challenges in the educational pipeline that may discourage girls from pursuing STEM fields in the first place? You know, being a girl in tech, you know, you must have met a lot of young girls who may have been a bit hesitant to be in this industry. And why is that? So if yes, how do we change that?
Okay, I think for sure, definitely, there's a lot of challenges when I was studying. Like, since, because I'm from public schools, right? Mm. So for public school, there's no, like, specific programs catering to tech. And also for, like, STEM subjects like science and maths, it's also, I would say, kind of boring in my perspective. So I don't really see how it can spark my interest to pursue even in the STEM field. So I would think something that we can change or improve it could be, like, introducing gamification of learning. Instead of it's just theory-based, we could introduce, like, quizzes, or even, like, encouraging the students to do their own research or a fun project as a side project. So by doing this, it can encourage them to learn some practical or hands-on experience. Or a part of that, schools can also organize, like, industry visits. It could be a collaboration between schools and also, like, private sectors. So industry visits where students can get to experience what is the actual, like, day-to-day on a lower level, how do people execute tasks. So by doing that, it's also gaining exposure and also gaining a deeper understanding on how the industry really works.
Yeah, I think industry visits, like field visit, I think that was almost non-existent when I was in high school back then. And I remember not liking all the science subjects as well, despite being in science stream, and ended up, you know, getting out of it after that. Right, Uma, what do you think? Do you think there's any specific challenges in the educational pipeline that may discourage girls from being in this industry?
Taking from where Yi Lin has mentioned as well, like back, I believe like both of us are from almost same generation of studies that we studied. So coming back to my time those days, it was an experience that I've had. And now looking at the current generation, those who are schooling, I could see that lots of initiatives have been taken by the school itself. I remember those days during my primary school, my teacher, Sir Elvarasu, he tends to give us like tables, and we have to recite the table outside of the classroom to be in order to get points. And remembering my physics teacher, Puan Suhana, tries all her best to spark our interest and gather our attention during her laboratory classes. And now that I look into the current generation of students in their classrooms, the teachers are receiving grants from the governments in order to take them for competitions, like STEM-related competitions. So I see this as one of the steps that the government has already been taking. And what I could say is that talking about the pipelines in the industry, if let's say the government has working hard to fix on the all of the pipeline issues that have been identified or being uttered, one of the main, or coming back to the data that you have shared in the very beginning of our conversation, where women employability rate is lesser than men's employability rate. And what we can do here is that preparing them for the industry or preparing them for the employability sector. Or how would that be? How would that experience be? Perhaps like mock interview sessions, how to write a proper resume. And I have seen that these steps are being taken here and there, but in a bulk number of students at once. Perhaps we can try taking it with smaller class, like engaging with industry experts, like having a mentor-mentee sessions as well, so that the mentors could guide the mentees and they could have it like touch points here and there in order to fix on their preparation to enter into the industry.
Right, so sort of equipping them with skills
that
not only they learn in classroom, but also outside, like for example, how to get a job in the STEM industry, for example.
Yeah. I think to add on, I think mindset is also quite important because I realize a lot of girls are quite lacking of confidence. For example, like coding, I remember there's a very famous tech talk. This is like girls is afraid of making mistakes. If they see like one line of their code is already wrong, they would rather just delete everything and leave nothing at all. So I think mindset is also quite important. Like as an educator, right? Educators should encourage and letting the students know that making mistakes is nothing. It's the process of improvement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Getting a right mindset.
Perhaps like glorifying each and every achievement, regardless of the mistakes, or like you know, glorifying the milestones.
Yeah. Recognize like every small milestone.
I mean, how do you learn if you don't make mistakes, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, moving on to the current outlook in the STEM industry right now, what are some of the gaps you feel, especially when it comes to, you know, issue of inclusivity, for example? And is there any specific policies or initiative that you believe, especially from, you know, the government side of it or even private sector, that can make a positive impact to bringing more women, girls into the industry? Gilin?
I would say like currently all of the employers are practicing like equal opportunities or diversity or inclusive hiring. Those are really good initiatives that I'm really pleased to see. So for Girls in Tech, because we do collaborate with a lot of the enterprises, so they will often reach out to us to seek for like female talent pool. So where this is actually a gap, right? Because they are reaching out to us, which means in the market currently there is the deficiency of women's talent. So in terms of government, right, I don't think we have like a lot of initiative with government. So I do hope to see more initiative for government moving forward.
If I may add on for government's part, that would be like perhaps talking about the systemic barrier previously that I've mentioned for someone from the rural area, from Borneo, let's say. So perhaps we could do the outreach awareness and also engagement program, not only to the candidate or to the graduate itself or the student or the younger generation, but also for the entire community. Because in order to break the stereotypes, right, so I think it's very important for government initiatives to bring the industry to those areas and address or accept to the community to show it to them that this is what STEM industry is. Perhaps the community would have like thousands of questions, thousands of fears that they have when we talk about those industries. Because most of the industries are concentrated at Peninsula Malaysia. So maybe that would be a little or big hesitant from the community to let someone or woman from their hand to go very far. So perhaps this kind of outreach engagements that would gain, we could gain confidence of the community itself. So it gives the confidence and we could address all the fears that they have. And also we could say that this is not being here, this is not here. And we can tick the checklist so that it could serve as a testimonial for the communities as well, like mostly for the underrepresented communities.
Right. I want to touch on a little bit, you know, more personal here. What made you guys actually, you know, be in this industry? Is there any specific initiatives or programs that encourages both of you to become, you know, women in STEM? Uma?
For me personally, I owe it to my parents. I owe it to my parents and also to each and every teachers that I have come across in my life, starting from my SK Bukit Badung, SK Sarjana Utama, SMK Sarjana Utama, College Matrikulasi Perlis, University Science Malaysia, University Technology Malaysia. Mm-hmm. I'm a complete government-made product, actually. Mm-hmm. I've never even went to a single private tuition classes besides all my government initiatives, actually. Mm-hmm. So at this, and when my parents, they had the urge to bring us to the air show. There was once this air show happened in Subang. That was for Thunderbirds back in 2005 or 2008, around that time. So when these types of exhibition that the government is doing, and they're opening it to public, so the public could bring their kids, their family, and it's being family friendly event as well, so that we could bring our next generations, and we go to an event, and from there it sparked, and I'm standing here as one of the women in STEM today. So these types of opportunities, and also these types of
encouragement
from
model.
The government, yes. Right. So when it happens, so it will definitely play spark or also miracle in one's life without even knowing.
Right. What about you, Yilin? You know, especially now advocating for girls in tech.
Okay, so interestingly, when I was in my secondary school, the subject that I hated most is like tech, you know. So I told my friends, like, I don't want to pursue tech careers, I don't want to study tech. Because that time, without the proper exposure, I only know tech is related to games. Because, you know, the guys are actually playing games, and that one is the only relation. But then, since I graduated, and that time I think there's a cybersecurity, a lot of issues concerning cybersecurity, that which sparks my interest. So I told myself, like, oh, I want to be equipped with the right skills to protect myself. So that's my motivation when I joined tech. And then after that, I also gotten a chance to join a tuition-free school, coding school. It's actually called 42KL. So addressing like for those who are in rural areas, if they have concern regarding like tuition fees to pursue like tech careers, then this 42KL is actually a quite good option for them to pursue, to learn about coding and also to pursue tech careers.
Right. So having the right programs as well as having the right mindset, I guess, you know, probably at that time you have this problem-solving mindset that make you want to, you know, solve cybersecurity issues, for example, at a very young age. Right. Okay. Before we wrap this up, I just want to know from both of you, how can, you know, be it colleagues, you know, leadership, society, everyone around us, better advocate for and support women in STEM roles, as well as lastly, what's your message for women who may face, you know, challenges that you guys face or misconception that you guys face to be in this industry? Uma?
I would say the first thing would be awards and recognition to be given to women in STEM. So with the right award and recognition, it acts as a motivation, and also it gives a better picture or clear understanding of what a woman could do in an organization itself. So that would pave the pathways for more women to be accepted into the industry and also into the looking into the working team as well. That would be one. And the next, I would like to emphasize on this mentorship program. We do have role models today, like talking about women in STEM. We have the first astrophysicist, like Tan Sri Maslan, and we have one of the top 100 scientists in Malaysia. We do have at Dr. Maha. So we have these women who has been already paving the path. But now looking into the mentorship program, and this mentorship is not necessarily or constricted to only women mentors to women mentees. When we talk about mentorship, the mentors could be anyone, those who have already been in the industry. And imagine having a man mentor.
Encouraging more
Yeah,
women.
It's encouraging more. And it tells to the woman or to the girl that, oh, the industry outside, it looks at me this way. They are receptive towards my ideas when I utter them. So it gives a comfort space, a convenient moment when we have mentors of different gender as well. So perhaps that could be a point to be added on or to be looked further when we look for even more collaborations. I think that's all from me.
Right. What about you, Yilin?
For me, I would think like networking events is actually quite a good initiative as well for women to, you know, share different thoughts, to share their opinions, and also to celebrate achievements. And then on top of that, inside an organization, I would think launching anonymous like survey or feedback will also be quite helpful to make improvement from a lower level.
Right. Yeah. My last question now is message to women who are already in the industry. Do you guys have any?
I would say for each and every one of us to take STEM in the very first place, that should be one of the point or one of the inspiration that it has pushed us further. So whenever we have moments that it breaks down or the moment we felt we are not welcomed or we are not being treated as how we should be treated, always remember or always think about the glory moments which has pushed you forward, so that with that we can keep going. And talking about the generations as well, I feel like we are in almost like sandwich generation, whereby the four frontiers are the ones who pave the path, and the upcoming generations, we have everything at the tip of our fingers. So when we talk about like lack of policies and stuffs, they might know like where I will be accepted better, and we might lose the talents locally because they might go somewhere one day. So I think this is very important for us to have, and also to not to let Malaysia to have brain drain one day, and not to also view Malaysia as retiring country, but also a country who could flourish well in terms of STEM industry.
Definitely. What about you, Yilin?
I would say to all of the women in this industry, like even small achievement is achievement. Celebrate it and also embrace every moment. I'm so happy that you are making differences here. And most importantly, if you need help, just seek out for help. There's like plenty of communities, mentors, like channels for you to seek out for help and find mentors and all. Everything is very accessible right now.
Yes, completely agree.
Right, okay. There you are, conversation on discussion on women in STEM. How do we encourage more women to be in STEM? Addressing some of the challenges, solutions, measures that we can implement, and for everyone to sort of support one another when it comes to, you know, getting more women in the industry, being either being in it or being supported in it, right? Thank you so much, Yilin, as well as Uma, for being here with us. I'm Fahana Shay. Thank you for watching.